Je bénis vraiment le Seigneur pour ce que nous sommes en train de vivre depuis la conférence.
I bless the name of the Lord for what we have been able to experience since this time of convention.
Chaque jour, nous voyons combien notre Dieu est bon.
Every day we see how much our God is good.
Et ce matin, c'est un moment solennel.
And this morning is a solemn moment.
Et nous voulons considérer encore l'amour de Dieu.
And we want to consider once again the love of God.
L'amour agapé.
Agape love.
C'est profond.
It's deep.
C'est merveilleux.
It's marvelous.
C'est glorieux.
And it's glorious.
J'aimerais lire un passage avec vous.
I would like to read a passage with you.
Dans l'Épître aux Romains.
In the Epistle of the Romans.
Le chapitre 8.
Chapter 8.
Et le verset 31.
In verse 31.
Romains 8.
Romans 8.
Le verset 31.
Verse 31.
Je lis.
I'm reading.
Que dirons-nous donc à l'égard de ces choses?
What shall we say to these things?
Si Dieu est pour nous,
if God is for us,
qui sera contre nous?
Who can be against us?
C'est tellement fort.
It's so strong.
J'ai lu ce passage, je l'ai relu.
I read this passage and reread it.
Et je vois que ce passage,
and I see that in this passage,
me montre combien l'amour de Dieu est profond.
It shows the depth of the love of God, how deep it is.
L'apôtre Paul écrit.
The apostle writes.
Et quand vous regardez bien avant,
and when it says beforehand,
il va dire plusieurs choses.
He says several things.
C'est comme si il est en extase.
It's like he's in a state of ecstasy.
Il contemple les merveilles de Dieu.
He's contemplating the wonders of God.
Et après tout ce qu'il a dit,
and after all he says,
au verset 31, il dit,
in verse 31, he says,
que dirons-nous donc à l'égard de ces choses?
What shall we then say to these things?
En d'autres termes, qu'est-ce que vous pouvez ajouter?
In other words, what could be added?
Est-ce qu'il y a quelqu'un d'autre qui a de plus bonnes idées?
Is there someone else who has better ideas?
Pour dire mieux?
To say it better?
Pour dire plus?
To say more?
Parce qu'en réalité, il n'y a rien à dire de plus.
Because in reality, there's nothing to add.
Si Dieu est pour nous,
if God is for us,
qui sera contre nous?
Then who could be against us?
C'est tellement fort.
It's so strong.
C'est l'amour de Dieu.
It's the love of God.
C'est la grâce de Dieu.
It's the grace of God.
C'est la bonté de Dieu.
It's the goodness of God.
Et c'est cet amour profond là.
And it's this deep love.
Tu nous as exposé ici.
To which we are exposed here.
C'est pour cela ce matin.
And that's why this morning,
alors que nous sommes rassemblés,
just as we are an assembly of,
nous voulons considérer le corps de Christ que nous représentons.
We want to consider the body of Christ that we represent.
Il est dit dans 1 Corinthiens 12, le verset 12.
It is said in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 12.
Car comme le corps est un,
for as the body is one,
et a plusieurs membres,
and it has several
et
members,
comme tous les membres du corps,
and as the different members of the
leur,
body,
malgré leur nombre, ne forment qu'un seul corps.
Despite their number, they make up one body.
Ainsi en est-il de Christ.
And one being in
nous
Christ.
Nous formons un seul corps.
We form one body.
Je pense au pain.
I think about bread.
Avec plusieurs grains de blé.
With several grains of wheat.
Qui sont écrasés.
Which have been crushed.
Ensemble.
Together.
Et qui sont mis ensemble.
And which have been put together.
Pour faire le pain.
To make the bread.
Nous avons un pain.
We have a bread.
Mais c'est plusieurs graines.
But it's several grains.
Tu as été écrasé ensemble.
You've been crushed together.
Et ça parle de l'unité.
And that speaks of unity.
Ça parle de l'unité.
It speaks of unity.
Et ce matin, nous voulons considérer le corps de Christ.
And this morning, we want to consider the
dans
body of
communion.
Christ in this time of communion.
Comme dans les coulisses, Pasteur Chibeli me disait.
In the aisle, Pastor Chibeli said to me.
Il y a des gens, les idolâtres.
There are those who worship idols, idolaters.
Ils ont des idoles et des sacrifices.
They have their idols and their sacrifices.
Mais ils n'ont pas de communion.
But they don't have communion.
Mais nous avons la communion.
But we have communion.
C'est pour cela que j'invite le peuple à se tenir debout.
And that's why I see
le peuple de Dieu.
The people of God.
Et on va prendre ensemble le pain.
We're going to take the bread together.
Et on va prier à la fin.
Yeah, and we'll pray afterwards.
Ensemble.
Together.
On va se tenir debout.
Let's stand.
Et on va prendre ensemble le pain.
And we'll take the bread together.
Ce pain, tu parles du corps de Christ qui a été donné pour nous.
This bread which speaks of the body of Christ which has been given for us.
Et nous prenons ce pain.
And we take this bread.
En considérant cette œuvre.
And considering this work.
Qui a été faite à la croix pour nous.
Which was done on the cross for
son
us.
Son corps brisé.
His broken body.
Amen.
Amen.
En lisant Hébreux au chapitre 9.
In reading Hebrews chapter 9.
Le verset 14.
In verse 14.
Il dit combien plus le sang de Christ.
How much more shall the blood of Christ,
qui par un esprit éternel,
who by the eternal spirit, s'est
offert lui-même sans tache à Dieu,
offered himself without spot to
God, purifiera-t-il
purge,
votre conscience des œuvres mortes,
he will purge our conscience
afin
from
que vous serviez
works,
le Dieu vivant,
so that we may serve the living God.
C'est merveilleux.
It's marvelous.
Le sang versé.
The blood spilled.
J'aime bien penser à ça.
I love thinking about
ce
that.
Ce sang glorieux.
This glorious blood,
qui est versé,
purged, spilled.
La Bible dit que c'est le sang qui parle mieux que le sang d'Abel.
This blood speaks better things than
et
the blood
matin,
of Abel.
Nous prenons la coupe.
In this morning, we take the
en considérant ce précieux sang,
and considering this
ce
precious
sang,
blood, this glorious blood,
qui nous purifie notre conscience,
which purifies our conscience,
qui nous purifie de tout péché,
which purifies us from all sin.
C'est merveilleux.
It's marvelous.
Ce sang nous introduit dans la présence de Dieu.
This blood allows us to enter
matin,
into the presence of God.
Communion.
And this morning we're in a communion with our Father,
en considérant
considering
cette glorieuse œuvre,
this glorious work,
l'œuvre accomplie de Jésus-Christ,
the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Donc, je vous invite à prendre la coupe.
So I'd like to invite you to take the cup.
Et ensemble.
Let's do it together.
Nous allons prier.
Let's pray.
Seigneur, merci.
Lord, thank you.
Merci pour ton corps qui a été brisé.
Thank you for your body which was broken.
Merci pour ton corps.
Thank you for your body.
Parce que par ton corps donné.
Because by your body
livré
given,
pour nous.
Delivered up for us.
Nous avons la vie.
We have life.
Nous vivons.
We live.
Non seulement nous vivons.
Not only do we live,
mais nous avons communion les uns avec les autres.
But we have communion one with another.
Nous sommes enrichis.
And we've been enriched.
Par cette vie que tu nous as communiquée.
By this life that you've communicated to us.
Parce que tu as donné ta vie.
Because you gave your life.
Merci pour ton sang versé.
Thank you for your spilled blood.
Et merci pour ce temps de partage.
And thank you for this time of sharing.
Merci parce que tu nous donnes de vivre des choses.
Thank you because you give us the possibility of experiencing things. Things that are completely supernatural we
que
live.
Nous pouvons pas comprendre.
Things we cannot completely
que
understand.
Nous pouvons pas expliquer.
Things we cannot explain.
Mais toi, tu sais tout.
But you know everything.
Merci, Seigneur.
Thank you, Lord.
Nous n'avons pas les paroles.
Not just words.
Nous n'avons pas les mots.
We don't have the words.
Mais merci.
But thank you.
Parce que ce que tu fais,
because what you do.
Nous pouvons simplement dire que c'est merveilleux.
You tell us that it is marvelous.
Merci, Jésus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Merci, Seigneur.
Thank you, Lord.
Nous pouvons rendre grâce au Seigneur, chacun.
And each one, we can render thanks
murmure,
to the Lord.
Dans un doux murmure.
In a.
Merci, Jésus.
In this world. Thank you for your light. Thank you, Jesus.
Merci.
Thank you.
Okay, for the message this morning, would you turn to one verse, Haggai chapter 1. This will be a little piece. There'll be little pieces in the message that you'll learn, little parts, and then it'll come together, Lord willing. So the first one is your life, do you ever feel like maybe I'm missing something in my life? Do you ever feel like I got to get this right? Someday I'm going to get it straightened out. Do you ever feel like in your life somehow there's just something you're not too sure as it's supposed to go this way? Am I hitting the target? Am I hitting the target? Have you ever thought about that or wondered? Maybe. Am I prospering like I should be? Am I blessed like I should be? Am I edified? Is everything okay? Am I hitting the target? Are my relationships good? Is there something missing? I think so. I think that happens to all of us. Look at chapter 1, Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5. Now therefore, read it out loud with me. Now therefore, let's do it again. Ready? Here we go. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your, think about it. Think about it. Consider your ways. In the history here, the Jewish people are missing something. I'm not saying that is the case with all of you. I don't know that. But it is good sometimes to stop and consider. You know, consider. I could suggest a couple of them. I know that God would like to teach me about tithing. Tithing is something that is prescribed in the scripture, Malachi chapter 3. And he said to the people, he said, you have robbed me. And they said, wherein have we robbed you? Because they had this attitude. Like, they came back. Like, what are you talking about? You ever had a teenager say that to you? Did you clean your room? Yes, I've cleaned my room. You go in, you look at it, it looks like a cyclone went through. I thought you said, I did. Of course I cleaned my room. What do you, you have a problem? You got a problem with that? I cleaned my room. This same attitude Israel had about tithing. And the Lord caught them in it and talked to them and spoke to them. I think there are areas in life where God wants me to kind of, and it's beautiful when he does it. You know, if you come to this church, you don't really come thinking I'm going to get beat up by the message. But on the other hand, when we come, we are coming with an attitude of faith. And we're saying, Lord, I don't want to miss what you've sent me into the world for. And I want to be serious with you, and I want you to be serious with me. And that's a great attitude. We expect the Spirit of God to show us things because we want to consider our ways. If I'm depressed, and that happens, it can happen to believers. Even what Dr. Stevens would call bona fide depression is when Moses died and the children of Israel mourned for 30 days. And after the 30 days, he said, okay, now change your clothes, eat, get ready, we're going to move on. But there was 30 days where he said, that's fine. You've lost your leader. But then if I'm living in a depression and it goes on and on, God, I go to the church and the church would like, God would like to speak to me by the Spirit and say, it's time to change your clothes and move on. You have been around this mountain long enough. Let's move on. In Deuteronomy chapter 1. There are many times and many places where we can see. Now we are learning about love. Go to verse 6 of this chapter. This is only short. You have sown much. Read it out loud. You have sown much. What have we sown? Well, They were agricultural people. They sowed seed. They sowed wheat and rye, planted vineyards and had gardens. They sowed much, but they brought in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earns wages that are put into a bag with holes. Where did my money go? Consider your ways. So we have a need for some of us believers to be honest enough to bring the whole issue before wise men and people maybe that give advice. Well, David, what's his name on the radio? No, the counselor. Ramsey. David Ramsey is on radio. Very popular, isn't it? 3 hours. 3 hour program on finances. And Christians calling up saying, what do I do in this case? And it shows you there is a need amongst us for us to put money in a bag that'll hold the money. And I need to consider my ways, right? That's the message there. So would you all stand with me, please, just for a moment. Just stand up and say this with me. Consider your ways. Say it, please. Consider your way. Consider your finances. Say that. Finances. Consider. Are you going to do anything about it? Are you going to do anything about it? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Consider it. And maybe I got to do something. Relationships with people. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Relationships with people and the subject of love. Consider your ways. And then maybe the third one, your mouth. Consider your mouth. Mouth, how you speak. Consider your ways. So for a moment, just turn to your neighbor and just say to them lovingly, read my lips. Consider your ways. Okay, that's the first little mini message. It's the first part. Let's say it together. Consider your ways. Now, it's private. It's private. It's personal between you and God. I know I had you talk to your neighbor, but actually it's something I have to decide in my own heart. Am I going to do anything about this mess that I have? Am I going to do anything about my broken relationships? Am I going to do anything about my finances, my problems? Am I going to consider my way? And the Lord is saying, I really have something for you. We're going to speak about it today. I'm going to help you. God helps us. Pastor said it. If God is for us, who can be? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is for me. Say that to your neighbor. God is for me. God is for me. God is for me. Hey, if I'm single and I'm not married, okay, God is for me. Say that. God is for me. If I'm married, God is for me. If I'm unemployed, God is for me. If I got a bag with the holes in it, and like Johnny Appleseed, all the apple seeds are falling, God is for me, okay? He is. All right, so that's it. Okay, amen. You may be seated. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, a message on love. And we have Pastor Love up in Nantucket, maybe. Pastor Love, it's not about Pastor Love, it's about 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, a message on love, okay? A joke before we start. Ready? We've all heard that a million monkeys banging on a million typewriters will eventually reproduce the entire works of Shakespeare. Now, thanks to the internet, we know that is not true. Okay, that didn't work, did it? One more. I got one more chance, okay? All right, after starting a new diet, I I changed my route to avoid passing my favorite bakery. I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning. As I approached, there in the window were chocolates, donuts, cheesecakes. I felt this was no accident. So I prayed, Lord, it's up to you. If you want me to have any of those delicious goodies, create a parking place for me directly in front of the bakery. Sure enough, on the eighth time around the block, there it was. God is so good. Okay. Pastor Shibeli gave a great class Friday night on faith. I was stirred up listening and thinking about so many things that we decide by faith. When we first become believers, we believe in Christ by faith. Then when it comes to repentance, I had things in my life that were not good, was not good baggage that I was carrying around. And I decided to let it be, drop it by faith. Strange. My mother, I'm from New York, and my mother said, I think you should be in Maine this summer. I said, Mom, I thought you loved me. So I ended up in Maine that summer where I met Dr. Stevens' church, and that was it. I was so hungry for what he was preaching. I was fascinated by the message and the Bible and the faith of the believers, big fishermen right along the shoreline of Maine, lobster fishermen with hands the size of a basketball. When they shook my hand just disappeared. And then just came out half the size, crushed. But these men and women in the church were precious, and there was life and love, and it convinced me. And Pastor said, we have a mission. We're on a mission. We're going to have a Bible college in that was the summer of 72. In the fall, we're going to start Bible college, and we're going to send teams into the world, and we're going to do it by faith. I looked around and saw all the reasons why it couldn't happen. But then there was one reason why it could happen. Because Christ is in it. Jesus Christ could do it. And he did it more than 40 years ago. And now we celebrate it every year here in the convention. And there is love. It would be easy for us to stop it and kind of get nasty with each other and critical. It would be easy, really, to like analyze and know each other in a wrong way. And that's what I want to share in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. It's called The More Excellent Way. It's at the end of chapter 12. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. It is an amazing way. It's an excellent way. But it's not a natural way. It's a spiritual way. You know, it's funny, in the world, spiritual, in our meaning, Christ, there is no spirituality. I met in Hamden one time in the Baltimore City. This woman is kind of artsy and all kinds of crazy. And, you know, the occult is growing. Yeah, interest in the occult. People are interested in their future, interested in palm reading and the stars and seances and all of this which is forbidden in the scripture it is demonic. But people that are hungering for knowledge or connection or looking for, it's called the spiritual. But our spirituality is of a different spirit. And this woman in Hamden said to me, I am spiritual, you know. I said, you need to be born again of the spirit. She said, I am spiritual. But as she walked away, I wondered what she meant. It isn't the same thing. For our spirit is honoring Christ only. I asked Pastor Bamuni to tell me a story about idolatry in Africa. And he said there's a group of people that worship the crocodile. And that he is their god, the crocodile. And there's a road through the area. And they have to protect the crocodiles that cross the road, protect them from being killed by cars. So my God needs me to put a roadblock so he doesn't get killed. Right? Well, the blindness of the mind, the lack of understanding is in 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Now, I don't need to live in Africa to be deceived. I simply need to be a human being anywhere on this planet without the Holy Spirit and without this word and without spirit-filled people. I need a teacher to open to me the Bible. I need the Holy Spirit to anoint me to understand bigger, who is your God, a crocodile, or bigger, the one that lived before the crocodiles ever tread on the earth. The God that is from beginning to everlasting to everlasting, of course. So consider your ways. And as we learn God, we also learn love, because God is love. So go to chapter 13, and could the AV office room please put up on the screen what love is, please, the list. Love is, and we have 8, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Love is. The subject love, it could take us years to learn about it and what it is not. Would you put up that slide, please? What love is not, from the same chapter. Another 8, list of 8 things. And I think we could go through our Bible stories and have a story for each. Envy's not. That was Haman and Mordecai. And Haman had a problem. And actually, when the king said to Haman, what should I do for the man that is honoring me? And Haman is thinking, oh, he's talking about me. He wants to honor me. I would put him on a horse and ride him and the clothes of the king's clothes on him and take him through the city to be honored. Then he said, well, then do that for Mordecai, the Jew. Haman is shocked, goes home in shame. Love does not envy, vaunteth not itself. Nebuchadnezzar, King Herod in Acts 12, not puffed up like the Pharisees saying to Jesus, come down from the cross. If you be the Son of God, come down. He said that he could save the world. If he could save others, can he save himself? Save yourself. Arrogant words. Not behaving rudely. Sarcasm. Seeks not her own. Not easily provoked. Do you remember Hannah in 1 Samuel 1 couldn't have children? And the woman living in the house with her, the man's second wife or first wife, there are two women. One had children, the other one had none. And the woman was there provoking Hannah, like really hitting, really sticking it to her. And Hannah says that she wept. She was so saddened. And it says she stopped eating. That's a sign of depression. Hannah was depressed. She was provoked by the woman in the house. And that can happen. But love is not easily provoked. Like you can say things to people, it'll go like water off a duck's back. They are not easily, you can't get them irritated easily. Their anger is not right here in their bosom. Like it says, the anger of a fool is in his bosom. And I kind of think, put your anger down in the cellar so you're not going to be quick to be angry. It'll take time to go get it. You go, oh, now I should be angry. Wait a minute, let me go get my anger. And you go down the cellar and bring it up. Now I am angry. That's the kind of anger a spirit-filled Christian has. In one way. It's one way to describe it or make you think about it. But when you pull on the highway and the first thing you do, you're angry with the traffic. That anger is in the flesh. That is not love. Love is not easily provoked by traffic, by things people say or what they don't say, or by the color of somebody's dress, or the color of somebody's shoes, or by missing an appointment by 5 minutes or 15, or by some other thing that just happens in the court, or your son walks on the grass. How many times do I have to tell you, don't walk on my grass? Easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices in. My point is, this is a lot of material. Every one of those sentences or phrases is a short message in itself. And here's our point this morning. We must learn it. We must learn it. We must consider our ways and learn what love is. When we talk about an offering, if somebody could be thinking, have an attitude like the second to the last one, thinks no evil. Oh, they want my money. Oh, they are thieves here in the church. I knew they would be asking for money. Okay, it's like whatever. You can live in the mind that you want to live in, and if that's how you want to think, that's your call. But I'm saying there's a more excellent way. There's a way that is not the ways of men. There's another language. There's another way of thinking. And there's an amazing aspect to this which God is teaching us and leading us in it. And it's something, I mean, I need help. I need help, and we are all learning. But I'm telling you, I'm excited about it. Because I have found it to be, and we are learning it, and we're growing in it, and it is amazing. Love is amazing. Love is amazing. Now look at chapter 13, verse 4, and we have it written there, all these words. It goes from 4 to 7 to the first part of 8. The last phrase, there are 16 little phrases there that I want you to learn and think about this coming year. And it'll come in handy. It'll really be useful, and you'll find that God will be with you and lead you, and you'll become a lot bigger than yourself. You're going to get to know God. We already are. We already know this. And we're learning it, but we can learn it, and there's going to be tests and trials. Like there will be anyway, but life happens, and we're going to learn. And forgiveness is an amazing part of love, which we'll talk about in a minute. Okay, so can you see that list? Charity suffers long and is kind. Then the 8 things that it is not. Then you have rejoices in the truth, the end of 6. And then the list there, bears all things, believes, hopes, endures, never fails. Okay, so that's that part. So let's move now to 1 John 4. I'm so happy that you and I have found the Bible. We have discovered the mind of Christ. Isn't it good? We have found the Bible. We got a Bible. Hallelujah. I would never make it without my Bible. I mean, this Bible, this book, wow. And the teaching and the guidance. We have seen God bring people into parts of the world with a message of Christ. And we have seen people changed, learning love. And this is it. In Africa, they're not worshiping a crocodile. They're worshiping God, and they're learning love. And they have an outreach to people that are thinking differently and learning love. And they're getting hope and this open heart and open mind. And here in America, where there's a tremendous need, there's not progress. Like this lie about the evolution and man progressing. You see a scientific progress, but you see the same old serpent, the same old man, and the same old problems. And this is hatred, jealousy, envy. Let's put that up there. What love is not. That's what we see. The same thing over and over. Is that changing? No, that's everywhere. Offices, bosses, rich people, poor people, religious people, non-religious people, it's all the same. It's called the old man or the flesh. When I become a believer, my flesh is still here. In my DNA, I have a fallen nature. In my body, when I die and I leave my body, I will not die, but when I leave my body drops to the ground. I leave my body, my sin, I'm gone out of my sin nature. I have no more sin nature. It's over. No more of that. None. Forever and ever. No more of that. No more of that foolishness. No more of that judging. No more of that criticism. No more of the arrogance. It's over. It's gone. No more. Love is that is how people live. That list is how people live. And that is what love is not. Amazing. Huh. It's an amazing lesson, isn't it? Okay. I'm out of breath. I'm so... What happened? Lost my... Man, just stay right there. That's amazing, isn't it? World is filled. Every police station, every hospital, every prison, every school, every kindergarten. That's my toy. That's my toy. You know, I hate Sally. You know, I mean, teenagers, 30-year-old, rich people, 60, 80, 90 years old, bitter, angry, unforgiving. This is the nature of our human race. Come on. I don't care if you got an iPhone or a computer, what you got. You are a fallen man, and you can make a mountain out of a molehill because you don't know love. Consider your ways. You know about it, don't you? You know about the whole thing, right? You know about it, right? There's no surprise. I tell it all the time. I got to meet it. Got to come up with a new story. Guy at Dunkin' Donuts sat down at the table. I didn't know him, my age. We're sitting there. I said, how you doing? We're just kind of old, two old guys, having a coffee, quiet, like the way we like to be, just quiet, to ourselves, minding our own business. Okay. I said, what's your name? How many friends do you have? How many friends do you have? Looks out the window, takes a sip. 2. No, 1. I wondered what happened to the other one. You know what happened. You know what happened. He remembered. You know, I don't know what happened, but you know what I'm saying. And a minute later, how many do you have? I just changed the subject. I don't know, actually. But I know it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's from God's love. Love is what makes a difference in your life. Not your smarts, your skills, or your successes, or your popularity, reputation, or your bank account. In a way, who cares? At the end of the day, really? Really, your life is measured by numbers, and your life is measured by, you know, something you have, you know, things or what? I mean, it's love. That's what makes all the difference. I remember when we first went to the mission field in Finland, and the snow was falling, and it was very cold. And we were basically a small team, and there was so much room for discouragement, and there's so much room for criticism. There's so much room for the whole team to fall apart, and actually, it did. It actually did, and within, you know, 9 months' time, within the year, half the people returned to the States, and I didn't realize there would be such a treasure in Finland. I didn't realize that there would be such a amazing that the Finnish people would be that we would have a amazing. I did not realize what Jesus Christ would do. With love. Don't criticize the country. Love the people. We could criticize America all day long. We can criticize your family all day long, the ones closest to you, your husband or your wife. You can do it all day long, and you could actually be right about it. But what's needed is not our judgment. What's needed is agape love. When God looked at the earth and us, I mean, do you really think? I mean, you and I don't grasp it. We don't know it. Please believe me. It was repulsive to him, wicked, horrifying, terrible, a shame, a disaster. Believe me. No one on this earth was deserving of anything, honestly. Believe me. No one, not one. There wasn't anybody. He's not fascinated with our good looks or our, you know, personality or, you know, our theater or talent or poetry. Not fascinated with our sincerity and our tears. It's all humbug. Was that it? I'm telling you. But what he saw was something he loved. And that was in the core, in the design, was this potential to be like him. And the price he paid and what he did to get it was exponentially way above and beyond incredible love. Love, the word we're trying to understand. You say, you know, but I love my dog. I love coffee. I love Target. I love my wife when she is nice to me. And I love, and we put in there a lot of things that we love. But God is saying, you do not know. I have to love you. Look at verse 7, chapter 4, 1 John 4:7, right? Did I ask you to turn there? Verse, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth, this is agape, is born of God and knows God. No, the world doesn't know God. It crucified God. No, the world does not care about God. I see it all. They do not care about God. This is the last. They don't care. They live, actually, have you met people? I've met people. They never think about God. Never. They never think. They're just living life. They just, you know, this is it. They're just living and enjoying life. Never. Isn't that amazing? My neighbor one time, in another place where I was living, I brought him to the church and brought him back home. And he, on the way home, he looked at me. I'm driving the car. He looked at me and goes, can I ask a question? I go, yeah. He said, now, do you think about God every day? And I'm like, you know, every day? I don't know what his concept of God is. It's like, if, you know, I don't know, I didn't answer, I did answer him, but I was trying to be as kind and as possible. And, you know, yes, actually, you know, really. And it's not work. Imagine being in love with somebody and they're in your heart and mind all the time. Imagine. And when we know God, that's what it is. It's like I can't pull away from him. The love is too good. The nature of God is so appealing. When we learn who God is and how tough he is in this love, how he never gives up on it, how he just comes back. I had a little dog in Hungary. And when I go to the door, the gate, the fence there to enter the courtyard, this dog was so excited to see me. And I would have my suit on from preaching and walk in, and he just had muddy paws and, you know, the whole thing. He'd just jump up on me, and I try to keep him away, you know, like get him off and everything, and just, you know, maybe give him a little bit of a love tap or something. That would never stop him. I mean, he encouraged him all the more. I mean, he never, all the years that we had that little puppy dog, I mean, he would never stop. I go, you are like God. And the Africans would say, amen. No, I'm joking. No, they say, hey. No, it's terrible. Hey, listen, I want to know him. How about you? But don't think he's like us, like this thing, you know. I mean, yeah, he is. He's like your mother on the best day. I mean, she makes you your best. I mean, yes, I agree. Amen. That's one. But also, man, when you're in trouble and you need somebody in charge, God is like that. God is the God of truth. And when he's hanging on the cross, he's actually saying that. I'm serious about this. I paid a big price for you guys. I'm serious. Without this, you're history. I lose you, you're gone. But with giving my son, I want you to see what love is. And I am love. And I need you to now go to verse 8, he that loves not, agape-wise, this word, what we're talking about, doesn't know God, and God is love. But not that sappy love, you know, the worldly love. That love doesn't work, by the way. How many people find it in romance? It's a hot romance for 3 months. Then the guy can't even remember your name. And I warn ladies about it. I go, the guy's got the flowers and the chocolate, and you're just ringing the doorbell and the whole thing, and you're like swept away. I go, do you know what you're doing? You know what is in this man's heart? Do you know what you're hooked up to? Do you know what his intentions are? Are you really understanding? Are you interested in something? Or is it phony? Is it empty? And he's just trying, he's getting his way. You know what I mean. A woman that has this kind of inbuilt integrity is beautiful. This woman who is not easily caught in that way, but she's like discerning and recognizing what is happening. But I don't want to get into the women-men thing. I want to say it about us as believers. You can be deceived by the occult. Like you're to have nothing to do with a seance. You can be deceived by a movie. A Christian could walk into a movie theater, go in one way and come out another way, and he's totally sold by the movie. The movie changed him. The movie affected him. And then he goes and does whatever he saw in the movie. Well, go to verse 10. Is it? We'll skip. We can do 9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Living. Here in his love, verse 10. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Another way of saying that is nobody has seen God, but they have seen us loving one another. What do you mean, loving one another? Years pass, and we love each other. Decades. Dictys were here at the 9 o'clock service. Pat Dicty and Pastor Mike Dicty, and we haven't seen them for many years. But same thing. Immediately see each other in the Lord, in the faith. There's the love. There's the relationship and the edification. And we miss each other. We love one another. No man has seen God, but they get to see us. No man has seen God, but they recognize our liberty, our peace, our joy, our content, our attitude. Okay. Verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Last verse, we skip up, we go down to verse 20, and I want to finish. It's been beautiful. Verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Well, that's for a message for another time, but I want to say a couple things about it. I, husband and wife, I've seen this happen in the ministry. Husband and wife, they have problems, and there's not forgiveness. They don't forgive. They can't, or one of them does, one of them doesn't. I'm not going to forgive you. I can't forgive you. So there isn't love. If I don't forgive, there's not love. If I don't forgive, then it's just not God. God forgives. I have to learn to forgive. But it's hard sometimes. So now I'm a liar. What do you mean I'm a liar? God, I ask you a question. What do you mean I'm a liar? Well, you love all these, but this one you hate. Yes, I have my reasons. I don't really hate him, but I can't get along with him. I can't forgive him. Yes, I've got issues, and that's true. And I'm not. And the Lord knows my heart, and he says, you know, it's in your heart. You're not forgiving. Okay, I'm not forgiving, but you know I love all these over here. And he says, you are a liar. Well, I am always telling the truth. Yeah, but you're not telling the truth. Well, what is the truth is that person is forgiven, and you're saying they aren't. And God says they are, and I'm saying they're not forgiven. God says they are forgiven, so he calls me a liar. I'm a liar? Yes, you are a liar. And listen, if I record you for the next week, I will hear you lying through the day. What do you mean I'll be lying? Yeah, you'll be lying about your wife that you're not forgiving. You're going to say she's selfish because that, you know, you got angry at your wife and you're not forgiving her because she is, and let's say she is selfish, but you're lying because I am saying that I am forgiving her and you don't know her heart and she could be selfish, but she is, it doesn't really matter her profile. The fact, the problem is with me. She could be wrong, but I am wrong by not forgiving her. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. I got to forgive her. I'm not going to forgive her because she's not sincere. Well, God will say, well, I feel the same way about you. I'm not going to forgive you because I don't think you are either. Maybe, or maybe I am, but you're not sincere enough to say, I forgive you when God forgives her. Huh? So I'm a liar. Who's the father of lies? The devil. And I'm a child of God, but now God calls me a liar. I am, the agape love is required of believers. I must not only say it, but I must also apply it. Agape love is a way of living. It's called the more excellent way. And when I learn to forgive my wife, and by it goes the other way too. The woman has to forgive her husband. And she goes, I forgive you. You little scoundrel, you. But I forgive you. But yeah. I forgive you. You got to learn it. Yeah, I don't care if they're right or they're wrong. Yeah, forgiveness is the way agape love rolls. Agape love is amazing. I know there's a need for more explanation on the subject, but that'll be happening in the coming weeks. I believe that for all of us here, we consider our ways, and one of them is this subject that is the excellent way of agape love. So that's where we got to end because we're way over time. Would you pray with me, please? This is an invitation to anyone here who's not a believer. Please come to Christ today. You might say, I'll do it later. No, do it now, please. Please do it now. You might say, I'm good. No, you're not good. Now, you're not well taken care of. You have no Savior, and you can't save yourself. Well, I'm pretty sharp, you know. You're not sharp enough. You're pretty dull, actually. You're unable. You can't do it. This is beyond you. You need God. God is love, and God loves you. Come to God today. Say, Jesus, I believe in you, please. Jesus, I believe in you. Say it in your heart. Jesus, I believe in you. And then raise your hand, please, in the auditorium, anyone at all. Raise your hand, yes. Raise your hand, please. Say yes to Jesus. Anyone at all here? Yes to Jesus. And then, Father, for our subject, we're going to learn it, Lord. We want to practice it. We'll never outgrow it. We're going to learn it, and it's going to change us, and it's called the excellent way. And we are hungry for you. Help us to trust you in every area of our lives and lead us. Bless our service tonight with Pastor Schiavelli and the guests. Give us an amazing week, Lord. Bless our country, July 4th, a holiday where we celebrate an amazing, amazing historical event and that glorifies you. For our freedom to practice our faith. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Would you all stand, please, and say praise the Lord.